Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit now about thoughts and health. Modern medicine for quite some time now has recognized that thoughts and health are directly related to one another. For example, you have a businessman that is under a lot of pressure at work, and he always takes his job home with him at night, thinking about it, worrying about it, second-guessing the decisions he makes. And after a number of years of living like this, he goes to the doctor and he has a very bad ulcer. What caused the ulcer? All the worry, all the anxiety that he goes through caused a physical ailment, an ulcer, to happen to him. You get angry at somebody and you shout and scream at them. And the next thing you know, you have a really violent headache. Okay, your anger, your emotionalization of that vibration of anger causes a physical ailment, a headache to happen to you. There's been countless examples of medicine that they have traced, and they know exactly that thoughts can cause illness. We know that absolutely, that thoughts can cause illness. But this is our third session together. And if we know that thoughts can cause illness, does it not seem logical? Does it not seem reasonable then that thoughts could also cure illness? I mean, do thoughts only work in the negative? If we know that they can cause illness, then I say to you, of course thoughts can cure illness. They're curing illness all the time. There are literally tens of thousands, I'm not talking hundreds, I'm talking tens of thousands of proven documented cases of people healing themselves, working with the powers of their mind. There's a doctor that is working in Palisades, California, Dr. Carl Simonton. And he's doing some very remarkable things by teaching his patients visualization techniques. And I'll read you an excerpt from a major magazine article that was recently brought out, and it's called Cancer in the Mind. And I'll just read you some excerpts on it. It says, "Can the mind play a part in whether a person gets cancer and also in whether he gets well again? What goes on in a patient's mind is often the key to whether he'll get well," Dr. Simonton says. "For example, one terminal patient imagines his disease as a vast army of ants at a picnic. The more he kills, the more there are. After a lingering illness, he succumbs to the ants and dies. Another terminal patient imagines a field of badger-like animals being killed by white knights. After a lengthy bout with the disease, he has a remission. We've become very optimistic lately," he says. "We think people are now beginning to realize how much the mind and the physical body are intertwined. Now we know it is possible for the cycle of cancer development to be reversed. We know that the same pathways that are used to transmit negative things like cancer growth can also be used to transmit positive things that can eventually restore a person to health." Dr. Simonton became interested in the psychological aspects of cancer when he was in the Army. "My job," he said, "was to give X-ray treatment to people who were diagnosed as terminal cancer patients. I began noticing," now listen to this, "I began noticing that no matter what the prognosis, no matter what the prognosis, those that had greater expectations were the ones that did best. I remember how one particular patient told me he was visualizing my X-ray machine killing his cancer cells. I said nothing, thinking it didn't really matter what he believed. But would you believe it? This man who was ridden with cancer had a spontaneous remission and is still alive today. Now, we as doctors all see spontaneous remissions, but nobody really understands why they happen. One of the patients I'm proudest of is a man I had several years back when he was 64, and it was thought that he had just a few months to live. Well, this man started visualizing how his cancer cells were being cleared and how his tumors were disintegrating. Now at the age of 71, he not only has been free of cancer for several years, but also by using this same technique has cured himself of his arthritis. And would you believe, after being impotent for many years, he now says his sex life could never be better. That's 71, by the way. And Dr. Simonton finishes off, he says, patients who have participated in their own recovery often have a much greater psychological strength than they ever had before. They emerge not just restored to health, but restored with a sense of potency and control over their lives that they had never before experienced. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like curing yourself of a major illness to help put a whole new perspective into your life. Now, here's a medical doctor with a cancer clinic in Palisades, California, using all the same treatment as all the other cancer clinics, the same drugs, the same radiation, the same diets, with one addition. He teaches his patients visualization techniques. He has them visualize each day that their tumors are disintegrating. Visualize each day that the cancer is leaving their body. And by doing this visualization technique, Dr. Simonton is getting 3 to 4 times the cure rate of cancer. 3 to 4 times as many people get cured in that clinic than in any other clinic, and he travels all over North America teaching healthcare practitioners how they can bring this into their practice. There's a hospital in Los Angeles that works with young children that have leukemia. And what they do is they play a little game with them. They say, okay, what we want you to do is we want you to pretend you're the Power Ranger or whatever superhero they want to pick. Pretend that you're that individual. You go inside yourself and you shoot those bad cells dead. Okay, well, the children love the game. Play it by the hours. The nurses enjoy the game. Occupies the children's time. Only something rather remarkable happens. By playing this very simple game, they are getting many times the cure rate of leukemia in that particular hospital. Children with their very fertile imaginations, who aren't, of course, sophisticated enough to know that it couldn't possibly work, killing those bad cells dead. You mean you get to do that? Oh, yes, and much, much more than that. When I was in a city one time, I had the director of one of the major hospitals in that particular city who was attending my course, and we have doctors and nurses attending this course as well, as I do in all my training. But he came up to me after the course, and he said, you know, John, it's my opinion that half the people that are lying sick and dying in the hospitals could be completely cured by working with these methods. And the other half would be greatly improved. Now, I want you to think here in your city, you have many hospitals and doctors and specialists of every type of description, but nowhere do you have one thought therapist. Imagine if you had one individual whose sole job it was is to go into the hospitals and teach them the type of things that I'm teaching you, what a difference that would make. I don't know if you've been in a hospital lately. If you haven't, you should. Go in and feel the energy and vibration in a hospital. Feel the fear, the despair, the worry. It's so thick. It's so thick. And what is so incredible is that 95% of the doctors that you talk to will know absolutely nothing about what I'm talking. In fact, they will probably go so far as to say it doesn't matter what you think, as incredible as that is. You know something, when they look back at medicine here in the beginning of the 21st century, when they look back 50 years from now, they're going to think we were in the Dark Ages. It's absolutely incredulous to me that the powers of the mind are not understood more. Having said that, I am very pleased to report that it is happening. That as of now, there is over a dozen university teaching hospitals teaching medicine now that have the powers of the mind as part of their curriculum. And placebo effect is beginning to be respected. They've known for a long time that if you give a little sugar pill to a patient and tell them that it is powerful medicine, that approximately 30% will get better simply by believing that this little sugar pill, the placebo, is powerful medicine. And it's always been dismissed as, oh, it's only the placebo. Only? I mean, 30%? I mean, that's a high percentage. Get better simply by believing in their mind that this little sugar pill is a powerful medicine. On my website, and those of you who haven't had a look at the website, it's learnmindpower.com. In my website, I have monthly topics, and one of my monthly topics about a year ago was on placebo surgery. They were taking people with knee operations, and knee operations are quite tricky operations, and they don't have as high a success rate as some of the other operations. So what they decided to try was the placebo effect. But how can you do placebo with surgery? Because with a pill, I mean, you can just give a person a sugar pill. That's an easy one. Well, they did something quite tricky. What they did is they put the people under anesthetic, and then they took them into the operating room, and they cut the knee open, and then they sewed it up. So they didn't do anything. They just cut it open and sewed it up. So the people wake up, and they see the scar, and they assume, of course, that they had the surgery. And by the way, I mean, this was set up ahead of time, that they weren't fooling them, you know, like taking advantage of them. They knew that a certain percentage, this was a test group, that a certain percentage would have the surgery, the certain percentage would have placebo. They just didn't know which was which. But what was incredibly fascinating is that the placebo effect had a slightly higher success rate than the actual operation. And you can look that study up on my website. So, I mean, the power of the mind is just so incredible in healing the body. And I'd like to give you now a very simple technique for abundant, vigorous health. And what it is, what you do is, for several minutes every day, take thoughts of health, thoughts of vitality, thoughts of strength, and just allow these thoughts to soak through your body, to go through your bloodstream and your organs and your cells and your tissues. And if you daily build yourself up with thoughts of health and vitality, daily, I will repeat my words, if you daily build yourself up for several minutes with thoughts of health and vitality and strength and vigor, then that charges you with an incredible health and vitality. And you get to do that simply by working with your thoughts. And it is so incredible and so important how and what you think about yourself. Remember when President Reagan was shot, I think it was 1981, and he took a bullet in the lung. Now that's serious. The lung is not meant for a bullet to go in it. He was 71 years of age, he took a bullet in the lung, but I knew he was going to be okay because of something I read in the newspaper. And it was like a day after his operation, and he said, "Oh, don't worry about me. I'm the type of person that always heals quickly." And I thought to myself, what an incredible, wonderful belief to have. I'm the type of person that always heals quickly. And obviously, I mean, we all remember the assassination attempt, but I don't know if you remember how quickly he was back at work. That man was back at work within days. A 71-year-old man that took a bullet in the lung was back at work within days. Do you think that that belief that I'm the type of person that always heals quickly might have had something to do with his recovery? And you get to choose your beliefs about yourself. And it's very important, the beliefs that you have about your physical body and the state of your health. I remember a woman one time when I was doing this session stood up and she said, "Well, this is fascinating what you're saying, because ever since I've been a little girl, I've always said to myself that I'm the type of person that never gets colds." And I've always said that to myself. Ever since I've been a little girl, I've said to myself, "I'm the type of person that never gets colds." And you know what? I never get colds. And at that point, a gentleman stood up and he was just shaking his head and he said, "This is really fascinating. Because you see, for as long as I can remember, I've always said to myself, every year I'm good for one or two colds." I've always said that to myself. And you know what? Every year I get one or two colds. It matters absolutely what you say to yourself. And how about this one? And we've all heard this one. "If there's a flu around, I'll get it." And you know what? They're right. They're absolutely right. You know, whenever I hear that, whenever anybody says that and I'm in the room, I immediately go right up to the person, look them right in the eye, and I say, "You know what? You're right." Because why try to talk them out of it? Of course they'll get the flu. I mean, how could they not get the flu? I mean, with that belief, if there's a flu around, I'll get it, they most certainly will attract the flu. There's mind powers. Mind powers works in the negative as well as the positive. So you feed that belief into your mind, of course you're going to get the flu. So the question that you must ask yourself is, what am I believing about myself and my state of health and my physical body? I remember that there was a woman one time, an Australian woman who I had met, and she wasn't familiar with my work at all, and she hadn't done my course. She was a young woman in her mid-20s, and she kept imagining what she was going to be like when she was an old woman. And for whatever reason, in her mind, she had an image and picture of herself as an old woman in a wheelchair. She doesn't think that anymore. She ended up doing this training, and as a result, now when she pictures herself as an old woman, she sees herself in abundant health and walking and bounding down the street and hiking. But let's imagine that she had continued to feed the image that when I'm an old woman, that I'm going to be an old woman in a wheelchair. And she continued from the age of 25 up into her 60s, 70s, and 80s. What do you think is the chance that she would have ended up in a wheelchair? I'm not going to say 100% because there's the big unknown, but it's got to be 95% she would have ended up in a wheelchair. working with that energy. Do you know what I think is the number one cause of cancer? Not the only cause of cancer, but the number one cause of cancer. And by the way, I have absolutely no proof on this at all. I've done no study on it. It's my personal opinion, but I stand by it. What I believe to be the number one cause of cancer is all the magazine articles about cancer. Because what happens is people read them. Oh, there's another article on cancer. Better get that one. Oh, my God. Look at the number of people getting cancer. Look at the number of people in my age group getting cancer. And they think about it. And they worry about it. And they fear it. And they focus it. And they manifest it. Because they don't know what you know. They don't know about eliminating negatives. They don't know the power of thought. What do you think happens when you fear something daily? So that's what I believe is the number one cause of cancer. So knowing these things, what you do is you build up an image of yourself as being strong and healthy. I mean, our body is a miraculous healing mechanism. Our body was built to heal itself. I mean, you cut your hand, what happens? When you cut your hand, instantly white corpuscles, red corpuscles go to fight the infection. Some go to fight the infection, some go to congeal the cut, and it happens automatically. I mean, you don't cut yourself and then you go, oh my God, oh, white corpuscles, red corpuscles, come on, guys. It's a great big gas there. Get going. I mean, you don't have to direct it. The body knows what it's doing. Or you eat your food, and what happens is the body takes the nutrients from the food, sends it to the various parts of the body, and discards the rest as waste. You don't eat your food and say, I remember to get something to the bad knee down there, you know. Yeah, get some down there. You don't have to direct it. The body knows what it's doing. Or you break your arm, and what happens? You go to the doctor, and your doctor heals your broken arm, right? Wrong! No doctor has ever healed a broken arm in his life. How ludicrous! The doctor will set the bones, and the doctor will make sure the bones are straight. But it's the body that heals the broken arm. Never forget that. Our body is a miraculous healing mechanism. And we should be reminding ourselves every time that I cut myself, every single time, I'm absolutely in awe of how my body heals itself. And I'm telling myself what a miraculous healing mechanism it is. And that's what we need to do, is we need to feed into our mind how incredibly powerful our body is. Feed into our mind beliefs about health. I'm the type of person that never gets sick. I'm the type of person that never gets colds. I'm the type of person that always heals quickly. We can have every one of those beliefs. You can create whatever thoughts you choose. You get to insert into your mind whatever thought you choose. And you can build into your body incredible, powerful strength by believing absolutely in the power of the body over disease, in the power of your strength, your vitality. And as the late Dr. Albert Schweitzer said, the real doctor is the doctor within.